The following is a segment from the Education Gadfly Show. Visit edexcellence.net to listen to full episodes or to sign up for the print edition of the Education Gadfly. For quicker delivery of the podcast, subscribe to us on iTunes.
So we got a lot to cover. So, Daniela, let's get started in playing Bart and the Gadfly.
Okay, Rick, yesterday we released your paper on how to ensure quality control in digital learning. You want to tell us about it?
Sure. It's a complicated question, which I think was evidenced by the fact that my initial draft for you guys was, I think we all agreed, god-awful. But I think it's testament folks were thinking about writing for y'all. The fact that you guys can bring order and coherence to even my ramblings says a lot. Oh, look, simple question is, if we're going to rethink how we actually deliver instruction, and the most interesting thing about digital learning is it lets you get out of schools and classrooms and start talking about how are you going to deliver units of instruction to kids and how you're going to develop skills. Well, this gets us out of everything we think we know about educational accountability. We can no longer just measure whether schools are making AYP. We can't just measure whether this or that teacher has good value-added scores. What we need to figure out is this day or hour or sequence a good, you know, something good that kids can master. And we have no idea how to do this. So what I did was I talked just in this piece about there's really only three mechanisms available to policymakers to hold people accountable for public services.
And right, and this is not just an education. This is basically in any public service.
In any public service, and it's whether, you know, it's pre-digital, it's post-digital. One is you regulate inputs and processes. So you tell people how many hours of instruction or how many textbooks or how many minutes of online instruction a kid needs to have. If you don't like that because it's filled with red tape, you can focus on outcomes. Did kids master the skills? What are the results? Problem is, we don't really have this for 99% of the stuff that's interesting in terms of online learning. We can do it for, you know, grades 3 to 8, math and reading, and kind of crude course-long increments, and that's about it. Or, if you don't like either of those, you wind up in the marketplace, but then people have all kinds of incentives to go shopping for easy courses that'll give them the credential, but don't necessarily teach them very much and aren't necessarily very rigorous. So the paper is really kind of how do you think about the opportunities and the challenges of each of these, and how do you put them together in a way that's going to work for, you know, where we're headed?
You know, and you have some good analogies in here, too, that, you know, we've faced these quality control problems before, certainly even in distance education. I mean, distance education has been around 100 years, and people have tried to figure out how do you know if it's actually of quality. And you point, for example, to higher ed, where we've had this worry about diploma mills for a long time. And now these online for-profit colleges just make it even harder. I mean, it's on everybody's incentive to just go and buy a diploma from one of these things. The student says, I got the credential, and the school says, I'm happy to take your money, especially if it's paid for with a student loan, and not have to make you do any work. And the question is, when you've got those kinds of perverse incentives, which you have in credit recovery programs in K-12 and other things, how do you make this work? How mm-hmm. do you police it? And you admit in here, look, there's no perfect way to do this.
You know, and that's something, right? Because we know that the folks who are opposed to online learning are going to seize on every misstep. They're going to seize on every financial impropriety and say, look, this is why we can't do this.
Well, do you think they're going to seize on this paper and say, hey, even Rick Hess admits that there's no good way to guarantee quality in this, so we shouldn't do it?
Well, yeah, that's true. And there's no good way to guarantee quality in the schools we got today. So we've got to get a heck of a lot more serious about admitting that we're working in an imperfect world.
Hey, and let's admit, there's no good way to ensure quality on the Education Gadfly Show either.
True that.
But we do our best every week.